Whatever. It's a fucking...
I'm not going to have any problem drinking it.
Yeah, it's an ice cream milkshake with tons of booze in it. What's, yeah. What's the problem? What's, talk about first world problems.
What's not to like?
You're like bathed in darkness.
Am I supposed to... Are you looking around? Am I supposed to be noticing something?
No. You're bathed in darkness, but I think it's just... I just turned the lights on. Normally they're on. So
well, you're going to have to get the podcast on hold until we fix that, obviously. We can't have people not being able to see me very well.
I can't podcast
in shadow. I just can't. Podcasting from the shadows, but not in shadow.
But and not the shadow. No. Which was an old-timey podcast when you think about it.
Oh, my gosh. And then Alec Baldwin did that movie.
Wow.
Which was awful.
Yeah, I can't.
Did you even see that?
Oh, multiple times.
Really? You saw that multiple times?
It came out when I was like 12.
Okay, so maybe when you're 12, it was cool.
Yeah, no, I can't defend that movie. It had that weird CG dagger that moved around, and Penelope Ann Miller, who can't act her way out of a cardboard box because she is a cardboard box. She is an acting cardboard box. The only good thing about that was the guy who played like the weird Genghis Khan dude.
Oh,
he was kind of cool. That's the first time I ever heard of bourbon.
Oh, and who was the cab driver? That was somebody.
Probably. I just don't remember.
It's like a guy with a voice.
Guy with a voice.
Like a really gravelly voice or something. With a weird name. Well, we can look that up later. Nobody cares.
Nope.
Not even Alec. No. Alec Baldwin doesn't even care about that.
Highly. Alec Baldwin has... He has moved on. He 30 rocked it.
It definitely moved on.
Yeah. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are...
S. Michael Smith. And you are...
And Michael Carassi.
And we're doing a little... We're doing pre-Thanksgiving. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving here. It'll be after Thanksgiving, obviously, when anybody's listening to this. So we'll hope you all had a good Thanksgiving.
Turkey.
Yeah. So what did you do for Thanksgiving?
What I did will have done in the past is go to my wife's family's, I spent an hour so far today prepping my paleo stuffing. I need to spend about another hour on it.
Now this paleo stuffing, what is that?
It's like 20 ingredients. It's...
It sounds a little complicated.
It's incredibly complicated. Let me see if I can list everything. It's got ground beef, mushrooms, celery, onion, garlic, 16 slices of bacon, sweet potato.
So there's no grain involved in this.
No,
right?
The only carb would be the sweet potato, which is the paleo equivalent of bread.
Okay.
Like...
Everything. Like, I'm going to make a sandwich, and I'm going to put it in between a couple of slices of sweet potato.
You joke, but that's... do you know how many different sweet potato bun recipes I have? Basically, you take sweet potato and you slice it in about a quarter of an inch thick.
Uh-huh.
You try to get a big fat one, so it's round, so it makes big slices.
Okay.
And you drizzle or spread a little bit of olive oil on it, and then spices, and you bake that shit.
All right. So let me... You probably know about this, and I don't, but I've been curious for a long time. So you can go to the store, grocery store, pretty much any supermarket, and buy potato bread. Now, I assume that is not just potato.
No.
Do they mix wheat and potato for that?
Okay. Absolutely.
So it's just, it's got a little bit of potato in it.
Yeah, it's like egg yolks. I mean, egg noodles.
Okay.
It's like, it's not just egg. Right? It's just noodles with egg versus noodles without egg. You know what I mean? There's whole wheat rolls. There's potato rolls. There's just... It's a slight change to the consistency. It's a slight change to the flavor. But yeah, I think it's fairly misleading the way some brands tend to market it.
I mean, you can... Obviously, if I really cared that much, I could have looked at the ingredients.
Well, you wanted to ask, and well, it's why, but
it's like a little curiosity thing. It's like floating around in my mind,
right? But it isn't something that actually affects your day to day. Like, you don't go out of your way to not eat wheat.
No.
So I don't blame you for not looking, because like, why the fuck do you care?
I'm just like, potato bread tastes kind of good. So
I like potato bread. I fucking love potato bread. It's my favorite kind of bread.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Although I have discovered
it makes good toast, but like burns really fast if you're not careful.
Oh, I just burn everything. I'm notoriously bad about burning bread and bagels. And I think it was secretly my mind was trying to get me to stop eating bread for years, and I just didn't understand that it was just secretly destroying the experience for me.
Thanks, brain. Thanks for caring.
Thanks for sabotaging. Thanks for
trying. I finally got it, though.
You couldn't just tell me? I have. So in the last year, so this year, I went from psychotically trying and kind of really failing to adhere to paleo to being like, I need to recognize the limits of what I can have before it has negative effects on me.
Okay. So have you moved to moderation?
I'm still mainly paleo. I still do intermittent fasting most of the time. And I say most of the time in that I basically never eat until 2. I can count on one hand the number of times in the last year that I broke that. I still do bulletproof coffee every day, unless I'm traveling and I can't. So all that stuff is still the same. Basically, I tend to go breaky on the paleo adherence at night. So I'm really good throughout the day, which gets me through the day and makes me feel really good. So I have a cucumber, celery, carrot salad almost every single day. Mix olive oil and apple cider vinegar in it.
Sounds good.
It is. Do different spices, make it interesting.
Yeah.
And that gives me that vegetable energy that I've discussed in the past. Remember before improv shows, I learned that if I didn't eat carbs, I had a salad, I would have energy for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand what that meant at the time, but...
Just because your body's not bogged down processing these sugars.
Also, breaking your fast with that, it's like your body's like, I'm going to get every fucking thing I can out of this. Vegetables, all right, nutrients, I'm going to make energy out of this. I don't fucking know how. And then after that, I'll usually do leftovers, and we do tend to cook pretty healthy. But then by dinner, because remember, I do 3 meals in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So by dinner and then after dinner, I'm a little more lax. You know, especially if I'm running or lifting a lot. So, but my waist size is still down to the lowest it's ever been. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
and that's huge. I mean, hugely important. That, right. Yes.
So I'm sure my triglycerides are pretty bad again because I definitely went on a sugar binge for a while there on Halloween. So
yeah.
This is the first sugar, a real desserty thing I've had in actually a little while.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I've been looking forward to this, Mike. If you didn't give me sugar and ice cream and my booze, I was going to have it anyway.
So what we are drinking is, I can't remember the name of the label on the, it's a maple liqueur, which is really strong stuff.
It's eau de vie. I mean, it's not even liqueur, it's eau de vie.
Okay.
That's like the pinnacle of strong fucking liquor.
Yeah.
The water of life, I think it means.
That's what it means, yeah. But I don't know what it means in terms of like booze stuff.
Strong.
Okay.
Like on a whole other level.
So this is probably like a good, this must be like at least 40%, I would think.
Yeah, I put 80 proof. Yeah. So yeah.
So we took that and we mixed it in with some Ben and Jerry's vanilla. Can't beat that.
Nope.
And some 2% milk. And made us a nice boozy maple liqueur milkshake.
And then put a bunch more ice cream in it.
Yeah, it was like way really too strong. I made it a little strong. I did. I admittedly did go for strong. So yeah, we added a little bit more ice cream, and it's actually coming out pretty well right now.
I'm loving it, but I will.
You're
drink almost mine.
Well. You're going to be done with it pretty soon.
Yeah, because I'm a functional alcoholic sometimes.
I may be staying here in like another 30 minutes to an hour after this, just to...
That's fine, man. Hang out.
Calm down. I have to go to work tomorrow because it's Thanksgiving.
You haven't gone to work all week, right?
No, I went. I went yesterday. And I went to... we have like... It's called All Staff Day today.
Is that like All Saints Day?
Yeah, no. Or maybe. I don't know. What the hell is All Saints Day? I mean, do people celebrate that?
Someone, probably if my Italian grandmothers were still alive, they probably would. That sounds like something to be like, oh, Michael, I can't do that today. I have to go to church for All Saints Day.
So yeah, I work at a public state run educational facility.
Enjoy that while it lasts.
Yeah. We're state run, so I think we're okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the day before Thanksgiving, we do this thing called All Staff Day.
That's today.
That's today.
Okay.
So we basically we don't go into work, we go to this other location.
Oh, you did an offsite.
Yeah, it's offsite, but it's at a different school. But there's nobody in school today, I guess. Mm. So anyway, we go there, and it's a big, they call it rah-rah day.
Oh, my God. Did you guys reenact, like, all the Ferris Bueller shit or all the Breakfast Club stuff?
No.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Not really. Not really. It's really boring, actually. We go there, and they give out all of these, like, the stupidest awards.
This is where you get the really bad...
Yeah.
Awards that like
so you get everybody gets a reward depending on how long they've been there mm-hmm. in increments of 5 years. So at 5 years you get a mug.
That's awful.
I know. But it's like it's better than any of the other stuff.
You know what I got at 5 years? Look down the floor over there. You see that nice messenger bag? Now look over the desk. I can't. See the nice messenger bag down there?
Oh yeah, that is nice. The brown one?
No, the one in front of it. One. Yeah.
It's still all right. It's still nice. Yeah. It's better than any of the stuff that if I am there for like 30 years, I will not get anything that nice.
You've discussed this. You've described them and they're all awful.
I don't want to bore people, but.
Yeah, you mentioned on the podcast.
But yeah, the mug is the nicest thing. Like at 25 years, you literally get a paperweight. And that's what it is. It's here's your paperweight. It's kind of a joke, and like there's a picture frame for one of them. It's just a joke. I mean, there's no other explanation for it.
Okay, well if it's a joke, suckers.
Yeah. So that's what the day is. So there's a lot of people just sitting around as they call all these names out for people who've been there 5 years, then 10 years.
Oh my God, that sounds awful. Yeah.
And they all have to come up and take their thing and like. Go down the line of superintendents and their manager and shake hands with everybody. And then they get a group picture for every one of those groups. And yeah, it takes a while. But anyway, wow. we get out before noon.
Oh,
so
okay.
We got, you know, half
what time do you start? 2 a.m?
Yeah. No, it starts at 8-ish.
Okay. Do you start working?
It's not
at
that 8? Bad. Yeah, I usually go to work at 8.
You go or you start?
I get there at 8.
Wow. Okay.
I get there between 8 and 8:30. It's pretty loose. I mean, they don't really care as long as you work your time and get your stuff done. Mm-hmm. Some people show up way earlier. Some people show up at like 9. It's
rebels.
Yeah. It's a cool environment in that, you know, at least in that sense. Mm-hmm. A lot of other senses, but it's nice. It's very casual.
You know what else is casual? When I'm working in here in my pajamas.
Okay, it's not quite as casual as working from home, but it's still pretty good.
Best training you'll ever get, me and my PJs.
Yeah, that extra bit of ice cream was really really key there.
Yep.
So yeah, we are not doing any family stuff for Thanksgiving, as we have not done for several years. We don't have any family in the area, and we don't have any desire to travel over Thanksgiving.
Sure.
It's just not really something we want to do.
Biggest travel holiday of the year, apparently, bigger than Christmas? That's what Erica always said. Biggest bar night. Maybe I'm just thinking it's the biggest bar night.
Really?
Erica has some weird statistic about it.
I don't know if I've ever been to a bar on Thanksgiving.
No, I think the night after Thanksgiving is the big, because it's always a Friday night.
Oh, because people are like,
everyone's
got to get away from their family.
Everyone's got to get away, everyone's got to drink. If you were an alcoholic, you're going to be that weekend. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense. Did I ever tell you we used to have the talk in restaurants in New York?
No. About the day after Thanksgiving?
Just about the holidays in general. Because, like, as a waiter in fine dining, you're like,
you don't want to, like, kill people by giving them as much as they want to drink?
No, not that, no. No, people drink aplenty during the holidays, and you want to encourage that as much as you responsibly can. no, there's a lot of really awesome shit about the holidays when it comes to waitering. All of it involves money. But I had this talk at multiple restaurants, so it must be a thing that multiple restaurants do, where they were like, listen, the holidays really suck for a lot of people. They don't want to see their family, so they go out to dinner, so they don't have to talk to them too much, and they're just miserable. So if you recognize that, give the other people you work with a heads up and try to be as non-intrusive as you can. is you basically go into ghost service mode where you're like, oh, I'll just be quiet and take this away. Don't let me interrupt you. Oh, no, yes, you're right. Your wife is absolutely awful. Yes, your mother doesn't love you. Yes, you're absolutely right. Yes. Yeah, pardon me, sir. When you're done brandishing that knife, could you just, it's long wheel. It's a very nice knife. So, could you just put it down? Thank you. Okay.
So you're saying people get a little testy.
Yeah. Yes, they do. It's not just retail. It's the restaurant industry.
Man, we were at the mall like last weekend. We're at Macy's, and Macy's is Macy's is a fine place. I got no problem with Macy's.
Okay,
I don't. They got some reasonable prices. Things on sale.
Just an odd lead in, but okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I got no problem with them.
Macy's is a fine place. Fine, upstanding place. That Von Maur, that upstart, nouveau riche.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that Von Maur. I'm not sure. The wife is a fan, but the men's section is like, they know the men are just there while the wives are shopping.
It's like, this is my impression of Von Maur. You go in as a woman, and it's the shining beacon of like Lord and Taylor-esque, like fancy shit. And then I pivot my head, and it's like JCPenney's for dudes.
Yeah.
It's like, why are they selling starter next to, what? But you're right. You've absolutely nailed it. And same with the kids department too, because there's a. I don't know if you've ever been upstairs. You ever seen the animatronic tree they have up there?
Oh, I don't think I've seen the tree.
There's this weird tree that has buttons that like its eyes open and it has really disturbing noises that are supposed to be.
Like the thing that used to be at Bugaboo Creek or better than that. I would hope.
I'm not gonna say better.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, like I look at the kids stuff and it's like, this is not good clothing. Like this, I mean. You think looking around, but it's all about the chicks at that store. You're absolutely right. Anything male related in that store is just because we know you got dragged in here. I mean, Brooks Brothers is right there, but what dude is gonna be like, oh babe, I'm gonna go look at Brooks Brothers. You know, hey, I'll be back.
Yeah.
No guy will ever do that.
No. So yeah, and the guys are just kind of like, just sort of like wandering aimlessly through the men's section, mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I'm like, can I help you? Like. I'm just, and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Wife, girlfriend, gotcha. Okay. They really, you know what they should do is open a fucking sports bar in there. If they put a little mini satellite champs in there, they would make a fucking killing. Because no dude wants to be in that store. I have never once seen a dude in that store like, I'm happy to be here. Their face does not sell that message. Although we have to go in there now because Simon is obsessed with the escalators.
Oh. Well, they have those at... Don't they have... I guess not. Is that the only place with escalators?
I think so. That I've found.
Yeah, I think you're right. In some of the other malls, they do.
Yeah, but not...
But not that...
Eastview is very... Particular mall. Eastview, just like a fine, wealthy, older person's home, is very ranch-like. No stairs. No second floors. Nothing to strain your rich person knees. And I know you know what I'm talking about.
Mm.
that was more for you than anyone.
Yeah, yep. I know.
So do your parents own two ranches? Or they were forced to look at them because of their friends, right? There was some kind of story there. Okay.
One of the houses is more ranchy. The other.
But they start running into problems with their friends as they all got older, right?
Yeah, yeah. They have friends who have problems with stairs now. Increasingly.
Your split level is like... It's like the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay where the foyer is.
Yeah, and their place, the place in Florida, they have the guest bungalow or cottage or whatever you want to call it. The guest house. I don't know. It's not connected. It's its own little...
It's freestanding?
Yeah.
Bungalow sounds like something you should find in a tropical country.
Well, this is Florida.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, what is the etymology
they
of bungalow?
They have palm trees outside the house.
They have coconut deaths.
They
right?
do, they yeah.
Have people killed by coconuts falling.
Yeah. Those leaves are like, those leaves do some damage when they fall. I mean, like, you don't think about that.
Like slicing damage or weight damage?
This weight damage. I mean, damn. Because they're high up and they're actually pretty heavy. So when those leaves die, they come down hard.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now I'm even more terrified of Florida. I was already pretty scared of Florida.
I mean, fire ants. Jeez.
Oh, don't. Dude, I've had two run-ins with fire ants.
You have?
I never told you that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so my parents and their...
Fire ants are like... don't fuck yeah, around with fire ants.
Strip a horse in like a minute. I'm aware. Yeah, my parents, in their infinite wisdom, in their cult days, moved us to Louisiana.
Ooh.
For some kind of weird thing that involves...
A culty thing,
very
perhaps?
Culty. Okay. Like, live in your campers with a bunch of other people and tithe. These are the people who slept with the congregation's wives, right? Just to call back to that. And to which my mother defended somewhat. But anyway, so while we were down there, yeah, I was attacked by fire ants twice as like a toddler.
As a tot? Oh my God.
Yeah, like I'm lucky to be alive because if my mom had like taken her eyes off me for more than a minute, I'd be bones and that's it.
like literally
just bones. Would be but no, she took me in the bones, shower. She yeah. couldn't get them off because not only did they...
They dig in. They grab.
Yeah. So we were in the shower and she said like it did nothing. So she like was swatted. They were eating at her, but she was like swatting them off of me like fucking backhanding like a pimp.
Ugh.
Bam, bam. Like
yeah, shower's not... I mean, you'd want...
You need like
a bath, I would think.
No,
would
you need
be
like
a
hose,
better.
I think. And even that might not be strong enough. I mean, I'd say a pressure washer, but you don't want to be hitting a child with a pressure washer.
Well, I don't know. In this case,
you're going to strip the flesh off setting. Either way. Yeah, so, right. Yeah. So, yeah, fire ants are no joke. So, fuck Florida.
And you like have a strong memory of that, I would say.
No, none whatsoever. No, it's just her story. Okay. Thankfully. I'm glad I don't remember when I was attacked twice by fire ants. I wake up in a cold sweat, afraid I might remember at some point.
So when you see ants, there's not like any sort of like, bah, like, do you freak out when you see ants at
if
all?
I see particularly large ants, mm-hmm. but I think that's just normal.
Like red ones especially?
No, just, I don't see red ants exactly very often.
Not here.
Yeah. But when I see particularly large fat ants, it's not like it's a primal memory. It's just like, that's weird. They shouldn't be that big.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe that's a callback to my childhood. Or maybe it's the fact that ants shouldn't be particularly large.
and yet they are often.
Yeah, and fuck that. That's weird too. Send them down to Florida.
So we're in Macy's and...
Oh yeah, sorry.
This guy was really cool. Melinda had like...
What guy?
Okay. I didn't introduce the guy, I guess.
So this is a guy who probably left Von Maur, right?
So we were there, we're shopping, I don't think I got anything, but Melinda got a few things, and she's got, like, this shit ton of various coupons.
Okay.
And we're there on, I think we're there on a Friday, so it's not busy.
And again, this is not Black Friday, because we're recording this before Thanksgiving.
Right. So, yeah, it's not busy.
Okay.
So there's nobody behind us. So there's no, like, we're not being assholes for trying to figure out the coupons.
So as Mel is just licking her thumb and slowly rolling out coupon after coupon and asking which one stacks.
She's got, like, a page of them. But the guy that's doing the register here, that's doing, he's like, here, let me help you figure this out and figure out the best ones. And he's like, he's really cool.
Nice.
It was really nice of him. And he's like, you just need like a dollar more to get
to
this
get them,
thing.
Right.
He's like, do you want a candy bar? And I was like, that's not okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm like, no, we're going to take that goddamn candy bar.
Yeah, because you act like a Depression era child, which I find fascinating. So yeah, you love sales more than I do. And I did actually go
I also do like candy bars. So let's not discount that.
Okay. Granted, but you can't argue the fact that you love a good deal.
I do.
In a way that is miserly, maybe beyond your present means.
Yeah, and I think that comes from my parents more, probably more from my dad than anyone.
Who also, well, but he grew up poor.
Yes. My dad grew up, I would say, lower-ish, maybe lower mid-income, but not having, there were times when they didn't have much money at all.
Okay.
I know that. And so... my dad, much to his credit, he went to college and he got a master's degree. He was in the Navy before that. So now he's in the Navy, I think, after
Wait, what?
One of those. He got his master's degree and I think he ended up in the Navy after that.
What?
But he was in the officer's program.
He was
program.
Doing it wrong.
Nah, he was like in ROTC or something and it was part of the package ROTC. Deal or something. I don't know. Anyway, he was an officer, naval officer.
Was he a gentleman?
I'm gonna say sure. I have no reason to question his honor.
Smike, maybe you just can't handle the truth.
Well played. Yeah, but that was always a thing for him, was, you know, the importance of having money, of understanding how when you have money, you can put that money to work for you by investing it. And, you know, he was always looking for good deals on things. So, yeah, that was, I guess that was a big influence. Even though, you know, I didn't, certainly didn't go through whatever he must have gone through when he was younger.
Yeah.
Those periods of not, you know, having
much.
Any or much. Yeah. Anyway, so we're at Macy's. Guy's cool about couponing us. And yeah, we like chatting a little bit, and he's like, hey, something, and hope you have a good Thanksgiving. And I said, hey, hope you have a good Thanksgiving. Hope you're not here. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, you can't say that now.
Be here. I'm like, I felt bad.
I think Macy's opens at 6.
So, I had that moment. I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. You seem cool, and I hate that you have to do that.
If you were a dick, you deserve it, but...
No, he wasn't. Cool. He was really nice.
I'm saying, if you were a dick, you should work on Black Friday, is what you're insinuating there.
Man, nobody should have to work on Black Friday. And I know I'm being hypocritical, because I have gone shopping... Fucking at midnight on Black Friday morning.
But you know they do it on Thanksgiving now. Black Friday starts Thanksgiving evening.
Yeah, yeah. And I've gone out, you know, I've been to these things. So, you know, there's part of me that's very hypocritical about saying you shouldn't do that, or that's wrong, or, you know, it's abuse to your employees.
A select few stores put their foot down last year, although I feel like I don't know if they're doing it again this year.
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, we will have known after this comes out.
In 2 days from the recording, but well after, yes. I took the approach of extreme early shopping this year, so I'm almost done with Christmas shopping already. It's November 23rd.
Nice.
No fucking clue what we're getting for you guys, but other than that...
Okay. We got some stuff lined up for you.
God damn it.
No, I got something freaky for you.
Is it about locking me in a room with a serial killer?
No,
payback, bitch! This ain't the escape room, motherfucker! This is a real psycho killer! Kiss, kiss, say!
No, we got something a little crazy for you.
Okay.
I hope you like it. Even if you don't, you're certainly going to get a laugh out of it.
All right, well, a laugh is always good.
Yeah. But it's gonna be yours. It's gonna be something for you to
sink my teeth
into, cherish. I'm not gonna say that. Okay. I'm not gonna say what you're gonna do with it, but you'll remember it.
All right. Did you take a cast of my penis? I feel like you took a cast of my penis. Did you watch that Rick and Morty prototype?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Wow.
It's a little freaky. A little disturbing.
I don't know how it's on YouTube. It's straight up gay porn. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it really makes you appreciate where Rick and Morty is now.
Yeah.
Because this was very clearly a parody of Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So, like, now...
Even watching the actual episodes, clearly see where they get that.
Well, it's really obvious when you watch this, and then, like, you can see the evolution from Back to the Future to that, to where Rick and Morty is now, but... you really appreciate, like, the origins of the characters and how they made smart choices.
Okay.
Like, the vulgarity is way smarter now than it was in this prototype. It's still funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the characters, like, all the underpinnings of what Rick and Morty are still there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just way more subtle and not, they didn't really know what they were doing with them yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun to see that. You know, I often get that, you know.
All right. I will have to check it out. So, while we're on that... We just finished watching together the second season of Rick and Morty.
Yes.
Which is, like, way old news right now.
Yeah, I know. We took our time.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll wrap up on that. I don't think it was as strong as the first season, honestly. I think they got bogged down in trying to do, like, story.
Story, yeah. There was a lot of narrative going on. And I like narrative.
Extended, long narrative.
But Rick and Morty is not the kind of show that needs extended narrative.
Yeah.
It's not Walking Dead.
It was nice to have, like, those flashes of extended narratives in the first season.
Yeah, because they balanced it well. They were like, we're going to do a lot of fucking dick jokes. And then
really clear parodies.
Right. Yeah, this was like calling back to parodies from the previous season too, which is the second time we do Ball Fondlers, it kind of doesn't.
Yeah, that would. I don't think that. I think that was probably the weakest.
They were like really trying to make it organic, and it didn't work.
Yeah, and it was funny because one of his lines towards the beginning of the episode is
owning up to that.
They say, "What are you doing? We're doing another." Intergalactic cable episode.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? Beats me. We nailed it the first time. Yeah, that's a good point.
I did really enjoy the Purge episode.
And
the one where the sister was locked in the car. And the car's mission was to protect her. That I found very entertaining. It's still a funny show. Like, this is the thing that bugs me, that people, like, we're in this hipster-obsessed culture that we live in. Everyone always wants to be like, and I'm guilty of this too. It's like, it wasn't as good as the first season, you know. Like, I could point to many shows that I've said that about and been totally serious, but I recognize that sometimes I'm just like, all right, get off your high horse about things. So this is still a very enjoyable second season.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they were trying some stuff that I think they tried too hard.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the as you were saying, the improvised episode in the first season was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite one from the first season was the something wicked or whatever.
I was thinking about that the other day.
The one with
where it removes all the curses.
Yeah,
yeah.
All the cursed items.
Yeah, like across the street, opens a shop.
Yeah, he goes to the store like it. Me, he's like, so what are you, the devil? It's like, what?
See, I mean, you know that is like my favorite kind of humor, right? Do you remember this from improv days?
Yes.
Like, whenever you juxtapose. Like, I get hard at the thought of taking something supernatural and juxtaposing it with the most mundane drudgery you can possibly think of, right? Werewolf dating service. You know, that kind of shit. Like, that just fucking cracks me up and I can't explain it.
All right, so wait, maybe you know this. What the hell is Teen Wolf? How did I not know about this?
The movie or the show?
The show.
Mom watches it.
Did they just, like, did they just do Twilight on the old Teen Wolf concept?
Well, you know that, like, every movie has a TV show now, right?
Okay. For some reason, I had just completely missed hearing anything about this show.
I don't think it would really fly on your radar.
Okay. That's legit.
But I
remember
middle
Teen Wolf.
Brother watches it, and he got my mom into watching it.
But Teen Wolf was like a comedy. I mean, it was Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. Well, also Jason Bateman in the second one.
Okay. I don't care about the second one. Nobody cares about the second one.
I don't think Jason Bateman cares about the second
one. Probably less than anyone. Probably just wishes it never happened.
Jason Bateman's a pretty sarcastic dude, so yeah, I could see that. I don't know anything about the show. I assume it's more serious.
I guess. Suddenly I just started seeing ads for it on TV. And like,
it's
this,
in like the
fourth
season or something.
It's on MTV or something. Yep. Well, that explains it.
Yeah, I don't, I haven't watched it. I have no desire to watch it.
So they just make it all Twilight-y? Like all relationship-y?
I have no idea. I mean, probably. That's what's popular with the kids these days, right? What does MTV know about narrative, for God's sakes? If it isn't ugly, drunk people trying to hook up and the road rules of our lives, I don't even know what MTV does anymore.
I don't know. I can't talk about MTV without like just feeling old.
Did we ever show you?
Because MTV was music TV.
Did we ever show you the Portlandia episode where they take MTV back and they got the old, like they got Kurt Loder and everyone?
I think that sounds really familiar. Maybe you did.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, they like stage an uprising to take MTV back.
I could get behind that.
It has pretty hilarious results because it's Portlandia doing it. Yeah, I remember having anthems, like, when I was really bummed, like, before school and middle school and early high school, and, like, life sucks.
Having anthems?
Yeah, like, you get a song that, like, is going to carry you through the day, so you're like, you see the video of it, right? And you have the visuals, and you have the music in your head, and you get on the school bus, and you're like, my life feels like it sucks right now, because I'm 15, and that's my life, but this is going to make me feel better. MTV doesn't do that anymore.
No.
You know, like, I remember fucking, and I don't know why, because it just was what it was, but Republica's Ready to Go was just, like, my pump-up song in the morning, and I always managed to catch it before I got on the bus. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. As much as I am miserable right now, I am ready to go. Like, this song is telling me that I am.
But now it's just, that's YouTube, I guess.
Yeah, well, now it's on demand, so it can't have the same impact. Do you remember the pleasure centers in your brain that would light up when a song you really liked would come on the radio when you didn't request it, you had zero control over it coming on?
Yeah.
That was a special moment.
I do. It's like, that's such a distant memory, though.
But you won't lose it for a long time because it is a very powerful response. Mark my words. And these kids nowadays can listen to whatever song they want, whenever they want, and good for them because it's a way better system. But
there was so much of that. There was like, it was like TV and radio was like panning for fucking gold.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, you know, you like, nope, shit again. Oh, God, that's the one I like. Oh, my God, that's the one I like.
The rapid flip back on the channels and you were like flipping through. Like, oh, shit, no, go back. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah, man, I remember doing that. I remember the flipping back and forth between VH1 and MTV. You're laughing because you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course.
Like, nope, shit, nope. Check that. It's been 2 minutes.
Maybe there's another song. Do I know this song? No, don't like it.
But then you hit that one song. I'm like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this video.
Finally, Roscoe Martinez's Neon Moonlight. God, I had such bad taste in music back then.
I know.
Do you remember the shimmer effect? See, let me remember that. I may have to show you this. So I was trying to explain this to someone.
The memory thing?
I've clearly imbibed a lot of alcohol, so I'm not doing a very good job explaining things. No, do you remember that there was a time when no one quite knew what to do with music videos?
Of course I remember that.
Okay, so
I'm a child of the 80s. You know that I know okay,
but
all of
I'm
this.
Not talking. I'm talking about after that, the early 90s. So the 80s, they were like fucking whatever, because the 80s anything went, right?
It's like someone let's put a camera on a tripod and just spin it around and whatever. What the fuck? Who knows?
The Cars had their video. I mean, no one fucking knew what they were doing. They greenlit Monster Squad. Great movie, but anything went in the 80s.
Yes.
But in the 90s, they tried to start to, like, really do more narrative stuff, but they didn't really know what they were doing.
Well, okay, yeah. And you know, that stuff happened sometime in the 80s.
Maybe the very late
okay, 80s. Well, I think Thriller was, like, the landmark
video for that. And that nailed it. But so there is a period, and I'm trying to think of more. So the one that stands out is because I just watched this. I was goofing on it with a coworker. So there was a song at my young Mike, very bad taste in music. Totally about that. Mike, if you're somehow listening to this in the past, you really have shitty taste in music. but there was a song, Neon Moonlight, by this dude, Roscoe Martinez.
I have no idea what that song is.
It's still a catchy song to me. But okay. Because, again, I liked it when I was a kid.
There was so much shit music in the 90s that I just tuned out.
Because that's when everyone started to sound like each other.
Yes.
Everyone sounded like Eddie Vedder, right?
Yes.
At that time period.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. There was a couple other bands that everyone sounded like. But there was a thing that, there was an effect that a lot of the videos did when you could tell like they didn't know what the fuck they wanted to do. So they would take, you know what the shimmer board is?
No.
It's like wavy metal.
Okay.
And they'd put it, they'd shine a light on it and then kind of splay that on the singer.
Okay.
So do you know, I don't know, maybe you don't want to, but it was like a thing that a lot of videos did when they just didn't have a point. They would do this effect where there'd be this weird shimmery like light like reflected for no fucking reason.
Because, I don't know, people are cats and they're like distracted by shiny things moving around.
Apparently, but all every now when I watch it, I'm like, that had to be in the dude's face. They got to be really annoying. This light like erratically splayed all over his eyesight as he's trying to sing or lip sync, as the case may be.
Oh man, yeah. Watching older videos, there's one video that like really has been sticking in my mind. It's from I think either late 80s or really early 90s.
It is hard to tell. That is
Shakespeare's Sister. Stay, the song Stay. So, it's. The video, it's like a super literal interpretation video.
Okay.
So Shakespeare's Sister is two singers. It's like one of them is from, oh my God, the Bangles, right?
Okay.
And I forget who the other one is.
All right, hold on. Let's just make this easier.
It's a female. Yeah, you got the video right there. So it's the two of them. One of them's from the Bangles. So this now we're gonna mess up with the actual audio of this.
Why?
Is that going to come out really weird? Or is it going to come out okay?
It's a really good mic. Why do you
Okay.
Think?
All right. I don't know. So she's here. This is the one of the two. She's here with this guy who's like on a hospital bed.
In space.
He's dying. In space. Yeah, whatever. Just don't ignore the in space thing. And she's like, oh, stay with me. And she's really like, all this medical things are pumping
I
around.
Remember this. Is that a
Dalek? This is an awesome video, by the way. Is it what?
Looks like a Dalek.
Yeah.
I do remember
it's medical song. Dalek, whatever. So she's like, she's trying to keep her guy alive.
Dude, I love this song as a kid.
I know, right? I do too. This is an awesome song.
Dude, this had a legit budget for the set.
Okay, there's a little CGI going on, but yeah.
And,
that's a
legit budget because this is the early 90s.
Yeah.
Okay, she's washing her hands.
And she's doing everything she can. You know, she wants to stay sterile, I guess. She doesn't want to get any germs on him.
Was that a bowl of holy water? I'm confused.
I don't know. When the guy's sick, you wash your hands and you, like, pat the brow.
Right.
You know, that's the stuff you do.
She's washing his palm. She's washing his palm.
Okay.
That's a little...
So there's maybe, like, some weird religious stuff.
Yeah, there's
maybe
a little weird religious...
But when the other chick comes in, and she's the one from, I think, from the Bengals.
Okay.
You need to know this. She was fucking wasted when they filmed this.
Really? Oh, I'm so excited.
And
now.
You can't... Once you know this,
you can't
and you see it, you're like, oh my God. She is so wasted. Because she comes in with the counter lyrics, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to take this guy. She's like the angel of death there.
Whoa.
We go, yeah. And her movements are like, she's just fucking gone. She can barely stand up.
She looks like a female The Crow.
And you can see how they've cut it so quickly. The edits are so fast.
Whoa.
It's like she's about to fucking fall over in every one of these shots.
I think she was falling over. And
right? You can tell. I mean, it's so obvious now.
You know what she reminds me of? You remember Troll 2?
No.
You watch Troll 2 with us? If you've seen Troll 2, she looks like the weird chick in that. She's like weird, drunk, over mascara Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah, she's got way more expressiveness
than Zoe. She's walking down the stairs.
Zoe.
Wow.
Yeah, just barely though. But you can see every like time she's like leaning way too far. So now the two of them are fighting over this dude.
But what is she smiling? She looks like The Crow.
She's gone.
Oh, licking the lip really slow like.
But you know, how boring would this video have been if she weren't?
If she were sober.
If she were just sober, just straight acting on this whole thing.
That might have been even scarier.
It would have not been nearly as good.
Okay, if we're going to go this route, let me show you Roscoe Martinez.
Oh man! I swear to God, I have not heard.
You're
this
not going to know this song. Don't feel bad.
I don't.
I'm the only person who remembers the song, but I'm going to try to show you the effect that I'm talking about.
All right.
I'm warning you. 13-year-old me found this to be very catchy. All
right.
So it's like
maybe vaguely familiar.
Okay.
So it's like it's sort of black and white, but sort of like they've got colored in some of the.
So they're shining a shit ton of light on this dude, right?
I guess. They're overexposing or something? I don't know. There's a lot of black and white shots here. Oh, he's cool. He's playing cool.
Yeah.
Well, now we got into.
And look, there it is. There it is. Did you see?
Yeah, okay.
What is that? What is that light that's splaying in his face? That's got to be so annoying.
I don't know, but what does that tell you? It's like he's in some sort of mysterious place, I guess.
I guess?
He's some sort of exotic place where they've got, like, weird things that reflect light.
But, like, seriously.
But now he doesn't.
No, it was there. It moves. You missed
it. Okay.
You have to, if you watch, it'll just flash across his face randomly. Yeah, they just really had too many lights.
Maybe it's his guitar that's, you know, reflecting.
I don't think so, because it'll go like, it'll waver sometimes. Like, so there's a person wavering a shimmer board on his face.
You're probably right.
No, I've studied this video.
Mike is like just jumping around right now.
You see
now.
It? You see
yeah,
it?
I saw it.
That is a dude
shimmering the board. You don't
have to
go back.
Watch.
I saw it.
Watch.
You don't have to.
There is someone shimmering
okay.
the board.
Yeah, okay. I believe that. I have no reason to doubt that somebody is shimmering the board there.
You know what I mean. Yeah. Music videos sucked for a while. I guess I'm not surprised that MTV found that reality TV.
Come on, but that Shakespeare's Sister video is so awesome.
Dude, I'm going to have nightmares now of a female crow chick who is drunk and can barely stand. Seriously, you need to watch Troll 2 if you haven't seen it. Like, have you heard the story behind that?
I have.
It's incredible.
I'm familiar with the... I've probably seen parts of it, but I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
Well, I have a running gag.
It's like hard to sit through the whole thing, isn't it?
You need a group to make fun of it. So Nero and I, my coworker, barbiturate, alcohol, yeah. Depressant, something, for the love of God. Maybe a good reason to get on heroin.
No.
Just hearing a lot of people are doing that. Nero and I have a joke where we what do you call it, deep link or whatever, when you link to a very specific like part of a YouTube video.
Okay. Like a time, a certain...
Yeah. I think it's called deep linking. I could be wrong. There's a term for it.
It's easy to do. You just pause a video and it lets you link to that where you paused it.
They made it easier over time. But
yes. It's really, really, really easy right now.
It's really easy to do. It used to be you had to actually get the time code and put it in the URL, which was so difficult. But we had this running gag where I would deep link a certain scene, like a certain line from it. And mm-hmm. I would basically Rickroll him with this Troll 2 line. But yeah, the movie is, it's incredible. But yeah, there's a chick in that. The bad woman who's in charge of the trolls really reminded me of Drunky Mick, Pat Benatar or whatever.
Maybe she was drunk when they filmed Troll 2.
Dude, that would explain a lot. A lot.
But that was done on a dare or something? What was the story?
No. Troll 2?
Yeah.
No, it's like this Italian filmmaker who thinks he's like the second coming of, you know, cinematic Jesus.
Yeah.
And so views it as high art.
Mm-hmm.
And like wrote all the lines himself, like with English as a second language, and like cast really hit or miss people, mainly miss. So like...
But just a cat, like no... No known actors at all.
I think there might be one person who's somewhat well known, but the behind the scenes documentary is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
When they get them together later, and then like the dude.
Yeah,
realizes...
I've heard that the documentary is like way more interesting than the actual movie.
So much more interesting. Like they talk to the Italian woman who wrote it, and she's like, "Yeah, I was becoming all my friends were becoming vegetarians or vegans at the time, so it's really about that."
So that kind of explains, because I do remember that people would just turn into vegetable.
They're eating her. Oh, my God. And they're going to eat me next. Worst lines ever. So, but people were turning to green, like, veggie goop.
Mm-hmm.
It was just about the paleo diet, ultimately, is what it comes down to.
Ahead of its time.
Way ahead of its time.
Way ahead of its time.
But, yeah, when the director-writer guy realizes later on, like, why people are watching the movie now, it's, like, fascinating to watch. Just fascinating. From a, this is a car wreck I can't turn away from kind of thing.
Man. So what else are we watching? We still, we haven't seen Doctor Strange yet, which we really need to do.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. Haven't seen The Arrival. I might have seen it by the time this airs. I hope I did.
Just go out to Charlie Sheen one. Which apparently is unrelated.
The Arrival, not Arrival.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're both about aliens.
We started watching Korra again.
Oh, again? Yeah?
Yeah. Nice. We didn't finish it the first time, but we started up from scratch again.
Man, wow.
I know. This is old. This is going back.
No, but I mean, you didn't like read about the ending, did you?
No. Okay. I have no idea.
You know nothing about the ending?
I know nothing about the ending.
Okay, Smite.
I know nothing about anything.
Do not read about the ending of Korra.
I don't know.
Okay, good.
Watched it. I mean, it's we're still in the first book of it, and it's really good. I like that they keep jumping around. Like you think it's gonna keep following one storyline, and then they just change gears completely, and everything is like.
But it's smartly done. It's not like, oh, we're just gonna fuck you over and not show you.
No. I mean, it's everything is happening, fairly logically.
Have you seen? You've watched the original Avatar?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think Eric and I enjoyed the original one more.
Okay.
But they're very different.
I'm less a fan of the romantic triangle thing in the second one.
Remember you said that.
Okay. But right now I'm less a fan of that than I was of the complications in the original one.
Sure.
Which was It was a lot more understated, I think, in the original.
Given that it had a like it fit better with a younger audience. There's a surprising level of complexity and like multiple shades of character development in the original one.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I really enjoy is that like a kid who grew up on the original Avatar, like would then be at the right age for Korra,
huh.
Which is kind of cool.
Okay.
You know, like you'd be like, oh, I'm okay. Avatar is fun. Not really that. It's like, oh, I'm a teenager now. And now they're teenagers.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, life is tough. Like, oh, Korra. Yeah. This is steampunk. Where did that come from? Because it feels really weird at first. We had a really hard time with that at first. We're like, what?
You mean just the environment?
Yeah. Like, why? What? Like, this is such a weird jump.
City oriented.
It's all city steampunky and straight. It's just such a departure mm-hmm. from the kind of weird Asian fantasy land of the first.
Yeah. Series. Well, I mean, the first series was very much about just traveling, like a journey. It was.
But
all
it still
a
felt fairly pastoral compared to like just the technology advancements from one to the other. Just were startling at first. We got into it, but.
Yeah.
I'm just saying steampunk is pretentious. But anyway.
Okay. That's cool.
I'm quoting the Guild. Felicia Day.
I'm
very popular internet man.
I watched a couple episodes. I wasn't really into it.
Yeah, well, she wasn't into you, so.
And I say that having gone to college with somebody who was involved in the production.
What do you want? A fucking cookie?
Yes.
Okay. We're all out. I'm sorry.
Well, fuck you then.
Text your wife and have her bring a cookie.
She might be here right now. She might be in the building. I don't know. She went out to get a phone tonight.
Yeah, an S7.
So, yeah, and I don't know if they're still doing this, but Best Buy was doing some crazy deal on the Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge, which is, like, I guess, the most popular phone in the world right now. So it's kind of.
I might have saw this. Yeah,
it's kind of weird that they would be doing this promotion on such a popular thing.
Well, because the Note, I assume it's to make up for the Note.
I guess
because a lot of people had to go over to the S7. Is it they get the gear and something else really good?
No. This is not that. So this is only through Best Buy.
Okay.
They're doing a promotion where you get a $250 Best Buy gift card.
Wow.
Just for buying an S7. Sweet. Or S7 Edge.
And you could do it with the installment
plan. You do the installment plan. And if you trade in, like, almost literally any working smartphone, you get another $200 gift card.
That's why you guys were so furiously trying to resurrect your old iPhone.
Yes.
I was like, how old is that phone?
Why so it's a $200, is now suddenly a $200 phone.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
Yeah. So you get the S7. Which is like what $672.
Sure.
And you get back $450 in gift cards for Best Buy. Granted, they are gift cards for Best Buy. Yeah. But I'm sure we can figure something to do with them.
Yeah. If nothing else, you can do some Christmas shopping though.
Yes.
Save yourself some moolah.
Christmas shopping, oh man. So you still got a little bit to do. You know what would make a really good Christmas gift?
That
people.
I don't need to buy because I've done all my most.
No, I'm just because I know this is coming out before Christmas.
Okay.
So there are people listening who might, you know, need some Christmas shopping.
Oh, I thought
ideas.
You're trying to give me. Okay, no, you're saying it's for the listeners. No,
I'm
please,
saying it's
go
for
ahead.
Everyone.
Go ahead.
So,
are you trying to get me to buy this for you?
No. I already bought something for myself. I'm just throwing this out there.
Okay.
Subscriptions. To maybe some major investigative journalism outlets.
Well, I know that
New
the
York
Times,
Times
is 50% off.
Yeah, I got myself a New York Times subscription finally.
Nice.
Might get myself a Washington Post subscription. Two excellent journalistic institutions.
Agreed.
Who. Might need all the help they can get over the next 4 years.
What are you saying, Smike?
Well, I'm saying that because of the recent election that we...
What did we talk about, Smike?
I mean, these are just great gifts.
Okay, no, I agree.
They're very informative.
Totally agree.
They're very, lots of good stories.
Yeah.
Good human interest stories.
Good writing. They don't write with
solid
rivers.
Writing.
They understand how to lay out a newspaper.
Yes.
In this day and age.
And a good digital layout.
Yeah.
Great websites. yeah, Washington Post, New York Times, or, you know, any other newspaper or, you know, journalistic institution of your choice.
I think that's a really nice nice public service here. You're
makes a good a digital stocking stuffer, if that's a thing.
It's not.
It's like kind of then the opposite. It is now. I am coining the term digital stocking stuffer.
But okay,
you so, just like write it on a note and stuff that note in the stocking.
Wait, see,
here's your here's your login.
Is that what you do with a note that's going to explode? You actually take a marker and write on it. Hey, I bought you a subscription to the New York Times. Bloop. What the fuck are you going to do with digital stocking stuffer?
Sure. I'm going to call it a thing.
Actually, you could probably buy a Fire tablet and then just have it have a message say I bought you a New York Times subscription.
Yeah, Fire tab. What? So I must have like just gotten like the okay, so I have an Amazon Fire HDX, which is okay. like what, two at least 2 years old now. Three?
Yep. Yeah, three they phased that line out a while ago.
But it's still fucking awesome. I mean it's really? It was you didn't like great it. Piece of hardware.
Hardware wise, okay. You have special offers or no?
Yeah, I got special offers. I didn't take that off. There's no reason not to. It's just your lock screen, so who gives a fuck?
Okay. But you're not a Prime member. Oh, yeah, you are.
Melinda is. My wife is.
Yeah, like, you don't have a Fire Stick, you don't have a Prime membership. It's funny that you did that, because without the Google Play Store, like, you really need to be in the Amazon ecosystem.
Yeah, but I...
Did you root it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I rooted it.
That makes more sense. So you were able to get access
to the Play Store? It's a fucking amazing piece of... It's a great tablet in terms of hardware. I mean, the screen was like one of the best screens that had been out ever when it came out. Mm-hmm. And it, even now, it's still great. The processor was, I forget what it is.
How but much
it's,
RAM? It's do you solid.
Remember? It's 32, but you could get them up to like 64, I think.
No, RAM.
Oh, I don't know.
Because that was the time when everyone was putting just a gig in.
I'm just wondering. Yeah, I don't know. It might be just a gig. Okay. I don't know.
Because the big thing about the HD8, the new one that they're about to like plummet on the price for Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So not helping anyone because Black Friday happened already by the time you're listening to this. But I know that Amazon leaked their sales and they're going to make the HD8. It's like $90 normally, but it's going down to $59.99 for Black Friday.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Because it's a pretty, it's a 1.5 gig RAM. It's like a decent spec bump from the normal Fire.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is the screen that good?
No. Yeah. And the cameras are terrible.
Yeah.
They nerfed like the things that they, I think
that was it because the HDX was like just amazing, but it wasn't really doing anything for Amazon.
I feel like the HDX was like the Nexus 7. It was like their proof. It was like their, look at what we can do with our hardware. Yeah.
And what happened to the Fire phones? Jesus.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that did not. Nope, that's done. You can't find mention of that anywhere.
Well, it never happened. With, like, if Fire phones? We don't know what you're talking about.
It'll show you a slightly different angle.
Well, it had like four cameras or something.
Yeah.
It had sensors in every corner or something like that. Something crazy.
So I will tip my hat to Amazon for this. I've talked about this before. I am firmly against the yearly refresh cycle. I think it is I think it destroys creativity. I truly do. I think a phone should be refreshed when there is a legitimate jump in technology.
Mm-hmm. And that might arguably have contributed to the Note 7 fiasco.
Yeah, sure. If it makes my case sound smarter, then absolutely, I agree with you.
A rushed design.
Right.
That didn't because take you're all trying the issues into consideration.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get it out on time.
To Amazon's credit, they were trying something fairly different.
Yes.
It just happened to not work at all.
Not at all.
And I think the thing with Amazon is like their tablet hardware is really not bad. But I think they're banking on the average person buying it, locking themselves into their ecosystem and uprooting it. That's why they can afford to sell it for a pretty ridiculously low price.
Right. And that was the deal with the HDX. It was like, this is an amazing device for the price.
And the time.
At the time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the huge downside was you don't get Google Play.
No Play Store. If you don't have Prime.
You root it.
Right.
Which I did.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing for, I don't know what the HD 10 is like, but I'm really impressed with the K1.
Okay, so that's what I was trying to get to here.
Okay.
You just picked up a tablet that I've had for a while now.
I needed some retail therapy for an unnamed reason recently. You can put your hand down. Stopping right there. Just because I slapped you, I mean, you get to slap me. And I also will probably be traveling very heavily next month.
This is the K1.
This is the NVIDIA Android tablet.
Yes. And they haven't really changed it much for a couple of
years
now.
It's basically dead in the water. They don't really seem to want to do anything.
But even when it came out originally, I mean, even now, it's like it's overpowered. It's a heavy tablet.
It's insanely powerful. Yeah. Like, so, and that's what I love about it. So it looks like super generic vanilla Android tablet.
Yes. And it runs. And it's their own flavor of Android that they've got.
No, but it's practically vanilla, though. There's barely anything riding on top of it. Like, I've had enough Android devices to be like, this is fun because it's not a lot of bloat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's running their K1 processor, which is like 196-core processor. And it's like the battery, like you could want, it's like that old Joe commercial where the guy revs the engine at the gas station on his big V12 and the gas tank goes down as he revs it. It's like you can watch the battery just fucking plummet from like not heavy usage, but it's because it's so fucking powerful.
Yeah.
And it's like really fun knowing that like if I wanted to play a PC game on it, I can do that. Like, not streaming, like which is what I bought it for. So the reason I bought it is because it does game stream. So I have this incredibly powerful graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
And I am able, and I've tested it, I'm able to run an incredibly difficult-to-run game, The Witcher 3, on my PC, stream that in real time through my network, mm-hmm. and actually play that on the tablet.
On a much smaller screen.
But you could then have the tablet work like a console and run the HDMI out to a TV, which they recommend because the battery consumption is less that way.
Okay. So it just sort of lets you shift your playing to a different room.
That's a great, not many people are aware of place shifting. A lot of people know about time shifting with DVRs, but place shifting like Slingbox,
mm-hmm.
not Sling TV, although that's what people know nowadays. Slingbox's whole thing was place shifting. So, yeah, you're traveling for work. You want to watch what's on your DVR. You have the technology to do that. So, yes, this is the place shifting of PC gaming, which is really cool in concept.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, they said, don't use it over Wi-Fi. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to use it over Wi-Fi. And it worked great. I have the Shield controller. And, yeah, I've been really impressed so far.
So I did, I brought over one of the peripherals that I have for this tablet,
uh-huh.
which is it's a controller. It's like a game controller. And it's designed so that it's like, you know, you take a regular Xbox, PlayStation, whatever controller and just pull it apart into two halves.
Right.
And then put those two halves on either side of the tablet. And it the whole thing just sort of snugs up onto the tablet.
So it looks like
you're holding the controller on either side of your tablet, and it's there. So if anybody's seen the ads for
Nintendo Switch,
the Nintendo Switch, this is basically Nintendo Switch
without the removable controllers. They're fixed on that, yeah,
right. And you saw this, and it offended the very core of your being. Somehow.
I watched the Nintendo Switch commercial, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool, okay. And then when I held the controller, this which is essentially the same thing, maybe because there wasn't a tablet actually physically there, it felt so, like, just doing, like, reenacting it right now is making, like, something in my brain itch in a bad way. Like, there's something about me doing this with, like, moving my thumbs on a joystick with my hands 2 feet apart when they could be, like, like 3 inches apart. This feels right. Holding a PlayStation controller feels right. Holding them like this and the controller like that feels wrong. I can't explain it. There's something about it. It's like it makes my jaw lock. I don't know. Makes my tongue feel too big in my mouth, Mike.
So after seeing this and like in physically holding it, you were a little less excited about the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. Well, no, because what I'll do is I'll take the fucking controllers off the sides and hold them closer together.
Well,
which you can do. I mean, there's, you know, 5 different configurations to playing it, right?
All right, so fine. How are we doing on time?
We're definitely up against it.
Can we talk about the Nintendo Switch for just a few minutes?
Sure. I literally know nothing but the video.
I know. And the funny part of this is that Nintendo is just now completely punted on the Wii U. It's like the funny thing is they're releasing this video of the Nintendo Switch right before Christmas shopping season.
So they're cannibalizing.
I know. They're like saying, you know what, that Wii U thing? No, don't even buy it. Don't look at it.
We don't want to hear your complaints, so don't even buy it anymore.
I know. Just ignore it. Pretend it's not there.
When is the Switch coming?
Not for Christmas. Like spring, I think.
That's weird.
I know. Why? Like, why would they announce it?
This is when you release the killer app and advertise the shit out of it.
I know. But they're doing the complete opposite. They're releasing the killer app and saying, don't buy anything until after Christmas.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's like there's one store in the mall. You probably haven't been to the mall lately.
Yeah, I was just there a couple days ago.
Oh, you were just there?
Yeah.
So, talking about Eastview Mall.
Yeah.
So, did you see the store that's like all the imported stuff?
No.
They have like all these wood carved like things from other countries.
Eyes might have just glossed over it if I saw it.
Okay. I think it's like near, it's like on the Von Maur.
Yeah, I spent all my time there with Simon because we wanted to go.
Anyway, I don't know when they rented the space, but they haven't actually opened yet. It's a new store. They probably just opened it for the Christmas shopping season.
But it's and Christmas it's like, shopping
it's,
season.
It's full of stuff. I mean, you walk by and it's like they've got like the walls covered with all these like carved masks and things on the tank from the ceiling and all the like kites and shit. But they're not open.
Yeah, that's a intrinsic flaw to the whole.
I know.
Retail.
It's like what. It's insane.
Does it make your jaw lock and your tongue feel too big?
It does. And I walked by. I was literally in the mall today. And today is the day before Thanksgiving.
Right.
The mall is full of people.
2 days before Black Friday.
I know.
Big shopping day.
So I must think that they're like, oh, we'll be okay as long as we open on Black Friday.
Right. Because you don't need to drum up interest at all before that.
But yeah, you can look inside, you can see all the stuff in there, but the gate's down, you can't go inside. So and there's like a couple of guys who are still like unpacking things in the store. And it was, why in the fuck don't you just let people come in and buy things? What?
We don't have our POS up yet.
I maybe they don't. I don't know. Anyway, seems crazy. Seems like a terrible business idea. They're losing, I'm sure, thousands of dollars every day that they're doing this.
Yeah, Eastview is the rich person mall. It's got to be very expensive to rent space there.
Anyway, my mini rant directed at poor schmuck who has a store in the mall.
That just makes me think really quick before we go. Did you ever hear the story about the Henrietta Mall, the Marketplace Mall, Pacific Sun or whatever, that like closed in the middle of the day?
Pac Sun?
I think it's Pac Sun.
Yeah, I have.
With the district manager and everything?
Yeah, like something happened and all the employees were just pissed off.
The store manager got like cancer. Like something awful happened. I think it was cancer.
Okay.
And the district manager was like, no, you can't have time off. You need to run my store. Like, I have numbers I need to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like a mega douche about it. And so all the employees were like, we quit. And so they shuttered and just put this nasty sign up about it. Oh. And it became like, it got like a little national story, like on, USA Today.com or whatever. But yeah, so that dude's a douche.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get fined
if
your store is closed.
Whoever you are.
Douchey guy.
PacSun manager.
PacSun. It wasn't PacSun. What's the store that sells like Doc Martens?
Journey? Journeys?
Journeys. Yeah, yeah. I think it was Journeys. Yes, it was Journeys.
Sorry, PacSun. Fuck you, Journeys.
PacSun, you're cool, man. All those vans, you sell those vans. You sell them to all the skater kids who never actually skate. It's totally fine.
Oh, man.
Hey, Smike.
Yeah.
Did you know?
What?
That Buddies in Space.
What?
This podcast.
The one we're on now.
That you are a part of. I still have to look at the paper.
Are we? Are we part of a Stolen Dress Network?
No, we're part of a Stolen Dress Entertainment. We are Stolen. Fuck you! Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, tweets, blogs, videos, and books. Yeah.
What the hell?
We are Swedish now. Where did that... We are the Buddies in Space.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. When you listen to this, I will be in Florida. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah, you're going to Florida.
Yeah.
Sorry? Is it cool? I don't know. Are you cool with it?
We're going to go to Disney.
You think he's ready?
Yeah, we're a little unclear about that. He won't remember it. That's weird. Knowing that we're going to Disney and we're going to give him this little day in one of the parks.
Really? He's like, he's almost three.
He won't remember.
Yeah, probably not.
He's too little.
He'll be terrified by a giant rat.
Well, we are skipping the Magic Kingdom. So it's down to Hollywood. Epcot? No, it's down to Hollywood Studios or Animal
Hollywood
Kingdom.
Studios?
Star Wars.
So
basically, and this is the cool thing.
I keep forgetting that Star Wars is Disney now. That's still such a weird thing in my mind.
I'm banking on it.
All right.
But here's the thing. So the same ticket that gets you into one gets into the other. So Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios have as the same ticket.
Okay.
So we bought two tickets because he's free. And basically that morning, we're going to wake up and we're going to be like, okay, do you want to see Star Wars and Mickey? Or do you want to see dinosaurs and tigers?
Oof.
Right? And then his
head
will
explode.
Is
a heavy
I know.
Fucking choice to lay on
and
your son.
Fucking Simon screwed if you choose.
Oh, man.
You can't go wrong. You have an awesome day either way.
You can go, yeah, because when he realizes that there are no stormtroopers in the dinosaur area, what's going
to
happen?
He's going to see giant dinosaurs. It's fine. You're giving him way too much credit for being able to think about one thing when he's seeing giant dinosaurs. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Hope and I got to teach a bunch and glad hand partners.
That
I have to sit in the Genius Lounge.
Hot?
My wife would probably find it hot, yeah. I have to wear a special shirt, be all charming. Sit in the Genius
Something
Lounge.
Something that can be washed easily.
Hopefully. They're giving us two shirts, so maybe they're counting on me sweating through it. Maybe that's part of the appeal.